Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining the call. It's Mike Ryan, Interim Chairman of Australian Pacific Coal. Before we get into the key highlights of the announcement on Monday regarding the joint venture agreement and the production restart, I just want to talk through how we've got to where we are now and how the board looked at this over the last 4 to 5 months. The board went through a renewal process, as many of you would be aware, over the December-January period, with the appointment of Geoff Beattie, Nick Johansen, myself, and Ayton Seretis. We had a change in, obviously, CEO and chair positions. Then, as a board, we sat down and looked at the key objectives of what needed to be done for Australian Pacific Coal. And without a doubt, the key objective was to get the mine open and open as soon as possible. The board essentially needed to work backwards from that. But in front of us was a rather complex and risky project. So we went about de-risking the project, simplifying what was a relatively complex JV structure, and finding better balance in the economics, and also can start funding the mine and then seeking permanent funding for the mine. The purpose of simplifying it was that it would allow better operational performance, better governance oversight, and better funding opportunity. The reason for the mine restart is obvious. We wanted to be able to de-risk that, though, as soon as possible. So we needed to fund it now, which AQC has done. We need to fund it later, which we are in the process of completing documentation on some of that at the moment. And then at each stage, we've developed the project. The third element to this was, as we talked about, was the economics. The economics, in our view, lacked balance. It required a significant shift and realization that AQC economic return was probably subpar to what where we would like to have done that. And as you've seen from the announcement on Monday, we have clawed back a reasonable portion of that, and that being to a significant benefit to the shareholders of AQC as the mine opens. On that, I'll hand over to Ayton to go through the highlights of the announcement on Monday. Ayton.
Thanks, Mike. Good morning, everyone. Look, firstly, I just want to thank our shareholders and our investors who have been very patient with us as we go through this exercise. As Mike mentioned, this was quite a complex renegotiation of terms and conditions, and I think AQC shareholders have come out of this in a really good position. The key terms of the transaction are obviously in the press release, so I won't go on through those details. But just to give you an update as well, what we're doing operationally, Mike and I were at the mine site on Monday, and one of the biggest risks with this recommissioning has been the dewatering of the 4 kilometre tunnel. Now, we actually walked quite a big part of that tunnel on Monday, and the last time I went there, I think, was about 6 to 8 weeks ago, and they had done a remarkable job. You can imagine the tunnel that we have that was full of water for a very, very long time. There was a lot of junk left in the tunnel, and the team have done a great job in actually remediating a lot of the works there. So we are on track, and we were confident enough to go out with a narrow time frame to open this mine in Q4, and it's early Q4. And as Mike mentioned as well, we have AQC has been funding all of the works, because the last thing we wanted was to put tools down and slow down the reopening. And so we've been funding the recommissioning works up until this point in time and until we can get the funding in place. So we're in a really good position with the mine. It has been complex, both the negotiations, but also the dewatering of the tunnel. But it is in good shape. And the next phase of work is going to be ensuring that we have the labour. And even just when we were on site, there's more activity. You can't miss it at all that there is more activity on site. There are more people on site. And to make sure that we've got the rest of the kit to get the mine reopened in fourth quarter. The next stage for us is obviously securing the rest of the funding. I'd like to be able to say more about that, but I've learned through experience that wait until it's all done before we can tell you how it's progressing. But we are confident of securing the rest of the funding. And now that we've actually got a joint venture agreement in place that outlines who gets what share and under what terms, we will be able to secure that funding a lot more in a streamlined fashion. So on that note, I will hand over for Q&A so we can spend the rest of the time listening from our shareholders and answering any of the questions you have. Thank you.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Redmond. We'll pause for any questions to register. Thank you. Your first question comes from Jason P, a private investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just in relation to the financing, are you able to provide any further colour just on the expected timing? Obviously, that's kind of the most critical next step. So any guidance you can provide on timelines, that would be helpful.
Sure, Jim. I'll take that question, Mike. Look, I suspect what we've been focused on is looking at this in two tranches, getting the concept of what we call a junior debt in place to almost effectively underwrite the senior debt component. And you can consider the junior debt almost like a working capital facility as well. We're very well advanced on that. And in terms of timing, we hope that in the next 2 weeks we will be able to make an announcement on that. The senior debt is also well underway. Now that we've got the joint venture and subject to getting this junior debt in place, we're probably 6 weeks away from that, 6 to 8 weeks to get the capital through the door. So that's the best indication of timing that I can give you. Suffice to say that we have not been sitting on our hands waiting for this to be done. We've actually been engaging with quite a number of parties. People have been through the data room, and there has been interest from a variety of partners, different types of transactions, some straight debt, some more convertible type structures, some linked to some sort of royalty scheme. At the end of the day, we're in a better position now to go and aggressively sort through those details so we can come back to the market and announce that. Mike, did you want to add anything further to that?
Yeah, look, Jason, just on that, it is important to understand that we have been working at multiple fronts to get the best outcome from the shareholders on this. And as agents referred to, we've been focusing on the junior debt, which essentially de-risks it. And going back to my original opening statement, the de-risking and simplification of this project was paramount to enable funders to look at it without having concerns about any high degree of complexity within the JV structure or within the mine itself. So we are in a far, far better position than what we were even a month ago, 2 months ago. Does that answer your question?
Yeah,
without being specific on exact dates when we will be signing docs.
Look, that's helpful. I think one follow-up question, if that's okay, and then another separate question. Just a follow-up question. Obviously, the splitting of the debt financing now between the junior first and the senior second, rough split between those, is kind of the junior going to be enough for, you know, to cover 10%, or is it 90%, or kind of how do you think about the remaining funding risk post the junior being in place?
The junior debt is going to be a composition of both junior debt and some working capital, right? So that would make up I'm probably, without sort of giving too much away, but obviously giving some away, you don't need to be a strong mathematician to work it out, is that that would make up 25% of junior, and then there would be working capital on top of that. The balance would obviously be senior, but that might even change. It could even become a slightly larger amount of junior. Again, the advantage and the way in which we've gone about it is that's de-risking the senior position as well at the same time.
Got it. Okay, no, that's helpful. And then just final question. On the change in the nature of the Trepang working interest or economic interest now converted into, essentially a minimum of $5 million or 10%, I did notice that the 10% is linked to EBITDA. And how do you think about the risk of, obviously there's going to be working capital and CapEx requirement even post opening of the mine, and there could be a situation where 10% of EBITDA is significantly higher than 10% of available cash flow, we've gotten back, but we've converted a 10% economic interest into that interest, which could end up being significantly larger from a cash perspective than a 10% economic interest in the cash flow. Is there, I presume there'll be further detail provided for the required vote on that, but is the intention that structure will be 10% of cash flow or 10% of earnings, which could be reasonably detrimental to the remaining cash flow to other shareholders?
I'm happy to take that one on, Mike.
Jason,
it's really helpful to be dealing with a landholder who also happens to be a major shareholder in the company. So Trepang have actually been very cooperative with us, and we're actually running all of this through modelling to make sure that we don't put too much onerous conditions on the asset once you in terms of paying the rent, because we want to make sure that both AQC and Tetra also get some distributions out of this asset. So it's not just the lease. The helpful thing about this lease arrangement now is that it's actually a joint venture cost. Previously, it was only it was only coming out of AQC's pockets. Now it's a joint venture cost. So that is a huge upside for us. The minimum $5 million is to really underpin the cost associated with the landlord. If there is anything above that, we're working through that with Trepang right now to make sure that if there are cash flow issues, that those costs will just accrue. So it's a bit of a three-way equation, but we're trying to make sure that the lenders get something out of the asset. There's going to be tremendous cash flows out of this asset, but we want to make sure that the lenders get paid. We want to make sure that the landholder gets some lease along the way, and that we the joint venture parties also get some distributions out. Obviously, once the debt is repaid, then we don't have any of these issues. The lease is very much affordable, and effectively, this will be a very strong cash flow generating asset to the joint venture partners. So hopefully that answers your question. We haven't resolved it yet, but Trepang are very mindful and conscious that we don't, they don't want to burden the joint venture, and we're also conscious of that as well.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Neil Carter from Evolution. Please go ahead.
Hi guys. Two questions for me. One, with the debt, will there be a cash sweep such that you know, the available cash flow goes to debt repayment first, or will there be excess cash from any amortization of the debt available to AQC shareholders as distributions and dividends? The first question. Actually, I might just let you answer that one first, please, Ayton.
Okay, that's the nice little tango that we're doing right now with the parties. We want to make sure that there are distributions that we receive. Our shareholders have been very patient for a very long time. Once we service our debt obligations, so pay our interest, there will be an amortization schedule. Any excess cash, we will resist 100% cash sweep. On the one hand, we want to pay the debt back faster, but we also want to make sure that we get some distributions out of this asset. It's, as I said, shareholders have been very patient for a long time, but that's the negotiation that we are undertaking right now.
Great, got it. Thank you very much.
Can I just add to that, Neil? I think, as Agent's highlighted, we are looking for finding a balance between how much debt and the speed in which we pay the debt and distributions to the shareholders. It also comes down to, you know, why would you, if you're having an EBIT, a debt to EBIT number of 0.4, why then is there a need to actually repay debt when you should actually put some back to shareholders? Mm-hmm. You know, you're well secured. There's no question about your ability to repay the debt when you get to down to those sort of levels. So again, it's just finding a balance that's appropriate.
Great, thank you, Mike. And my second question on the mine plan. So you've said that it looks like there'll be the ability to improve the yield, and also that we should get some semi-soft coking coal output as well. On the semi-soft, presume that's kind of a small amount, maybe like 10% or 20% of the total mix. Is that correct? And then with the improved yields, what sort of changes? Can you give us some kind of a qualitative feel for what kind of changes to the mine plan have enabled the improvement in the yields?
I'm happy to take that one, Mike. The yields that we're looking at is well in excess of 70%. So 70-80% is the range, depending on the seam that we're mining. And in some areas, the quality is obviously better, lower ash content. And with the benefit that we have is we've obviously got the wash plant very close to the, at the end of the tunnel. So we can actually wash parts of the coal to actually produce a semi-soft coking coal product. So there are some seams where we can get very clean, semi-soft product, low ash that we can sell to the met coal market immediately. But we've also got the opportunity to use the wash plant and get a better quality mix as well. Rather than telling you exactly what it will be when it comes out of the coal mine, what is probably more appropriate is to say that we are looking for 20 to 25% of our production to be hitting the met coal market. That is our objective.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from Warren Jayathasan from Wilson Advisory. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for the update. I was just wondering how you guys were thinking about the current thermal outlook and particularly around future pricing, if you could give me a couple of thoughts on that.
Okay. Look, just on thermal coal outlook, obviously the winter, what we saw last year, we had prices drop down from the 400 levels. Where we are at the moment, and this is my view, I think these levels of pricing is definitely sustainable for the next 12, 18 months. And I think longer term, as we transition to net zero, there are no new coal mines being developed. Even our coal mine, it's not a greenfield project, it's a brownfield. In Australia, we are not getting authority approvals to set up greenfield projects. So what you will naturally see is that there are two things here. As we head towards net zero, there's going to be pressure to not open any more new mines globally. So the producing mines that are there at the moment, they will have to sustain the demand. There is an economic reality here that we still need thermal coal production to for power generation globally. There's no doubt about it. You can see as well in Europe, there has been a transition. They've switched off their nuclear plants and going back to coal-fired power stations as well. We still think there's strong demand coming out of Asia and India. So I don't think that thermal coal is going to, the demand for it is going to dip anytime soon. And as supply is constrained, I think that's what's going to underpin prices. For AQC, I think the fundamental benefit we have here is when you look at our cost base, we're looking at about roughly $100 a ton, US dollars. That leaves plenty of room for a margin even at these prices. So when I look at the model, financial model for AQC, I look at the debt we're going to have to bring in, roughly $100 million. That debt, if we did nothing but repay that debt, can be paid in the next 18 to 24 months. The rest of it's free cash flow on the current projections. So I think the prices are sustainable in the long term. That's my personal view. And Mike, if you want to add to that, but that's my view. I think these prices are sustainable.
I concur with what Aiton's saying. Do we expect them to go back to the 380s, $400 a ton? I'm not quite sure we'll go back there, but I think as she's pointed, the need for thermal coal, and that's probably reflective in the inbound inquiry we've had ourselves, will probably stay up, and the transition period from conventional energy to renewable energy is going to take longer and be more expensive than what people anticipated. So, but let's also be very clear, we are not forecasting nosebleed numbers for thermal coal going into the future. We're taking a relatively conservative approach.
Yep, no, that makes sense. And just one more quick one. Do you have any information that you can share on sort of the likelihood that there'll be a the mining lease will be granted that extension from 2027 onwards?
What I can share with you is that we will start going through the process of the extension once the mine's up and running. That's the first point. The second point is you could argue there's an element of quid pro quo with the government that's requiring some domestic supply, which we are happy to provide a portion, and therefore would look to their support for an extension. And the third element to it is the complexity of Mod 7 to actually enable us to go to production. It was completed, as you know, last year, but we don't expect the same degree of complexity in actually getting Mod 8 and the extension to 3033. It will take some time, but it's not a 2-week process, but we do expect that we will get it.
Perfect.
And if I can just add on that one as well, to our shareholders at the moment, there is a free option there. I mean, look, we can extend this mine with minimal capex, subject to government approval, and that's another, you know, 5-6 years worth of production. We've got the wash plant; it's in good condition. Gold plated that wash plant. We're close to port. We've got the infrastructure, and if coal prices are sustainable, I think that bodes really well. And I would say our share price does not reflect that potential at the moment. So I see it as a free option for our shareholders right now.
Thanks for that.
Thank you. You have a follow-up question from Jason P, private investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Aga. Just a couple of follow-ups. So on the yield of 70 to 80%, just confirming the numbers in the presentation you've given before in terms of expected production volumes. I think last presentation you gave was kind of 1.7 million in 2024, ramping up to 2.9 million in 2027. So is there... The right way to think about that is those numbers, given they're ROM times 70 to 80%, or is there any change in the forecast, I guess, clean coal production at the end of that?
Look, I think the forecasts we've put out there are indicative, and the mine plan will get finessed over time. So we're confident of what we've put out there. They're just ROM numbers, and what we're saying is the 78% is the yield on those ROM volumes. And the best way to look at this in terms of pricing is that if we assume that we can get 20 to 25% into the met coal market, the rest of it is Newcastle coal spec quality. So they're the markets that we'll be targeting. But the volumes that we've put out there were the ROM. So take 78% of that.
Thank you. And just a clarification on the costs. You mentioned just before in this call US $100 per tonne cost. I know in the presentation we've got to kind of Aussie $60 ROM cost, but that's a fair delta. Is that so? US $100 is kind of what you're thinking?
That's FOB. So the $60-$65 we've put out there is just at the mine gate. Once you add our port and rail, we get,
So 100, that's 100 Aussie, US that's is the right number.
100 yeah. US roughly is, yeah. Now, a lot of the costs are fixed. So what you'll see in the early years before we get to peak production is that on a per tonne basis, we'll probably be higher than what I've indicated. So, but the long-term level is around about the $90 to $100. US dollars.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Ryan for closing remarks.
Thank you very much. I'd just like to repeat what Aiton said in terms of the ongoing support we've had from investors in the mine. And an AQC. We have been through a fairly lengthy process in terms of providing better economics back to the AQC shareholders, as well as simplifying the structure. I'd like to thank you for, again, your patience in actually allowing us to actually get that, get to this point. It hasn't delayed the opening of the mine. We are still looking at the second half of the calendar year to open the mine. And as we've indicated, we are looking around that period of early fourth quarter. If there is any other follow-up questions, please feel free to email or call the people that are at the bottom of the presentation. That we can come back to you straight away. And finally, just to my to the JV partners and to the board, thank you for your hard work in getting the mine to where we are today. Thank you.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.